100% worst trip we've ever taken. I think about this periodically, how bad LeakyCon was for us and how unfortunate we ended up being. Like, we did not deserve the bad luck that we had. I was literally only thinking about it in work today because we were on about the people who take to fucking Google to give shitty reviews over very small things. We're like, would you ever grow up and get a fucking life? I was like, there's one time I've ever taken to Google to give a bad review, and that was when we got fucking food poisoning from that shitty, overpriced, shitey food with the shit service. That was too much. That was a reason to go to Google and give out. But other than that, but yeah, I was literally only thinking about that horrendous fucking trip today.
Do you remember how we all had a breakdown?
Each.
Right? We had a breakdown each.
Yep.
Lizzie's was over her bath bomb. Mine was over the food. What was yours? What was yours?
I think it was because of the nosebleed.
When did you get a fucking nosebleed?
I woke up to a nosebleed and I destroyed the entire bathroom in blood. How do you not remember this?
I knew there was something else.
Yeah, I had a nosebleed.
There was something else.
I was pissed because I got woken up by my nose piss and blood and I was like, why? Why?
I don't remember that at all.
You were still asleep. But like the blood was still there when you woke up because I just went back to bed.
Everywhere.
Yep.
It was all over the sink and everything.
Yeah.
Was it like a massacre? I actually can't remember it.
It was like someone was fucking murdered there.
Yeah.
I have no
remember. Like I managed to run and like cup my hands under my nose until I got to the bathroom. But then as soon as I like let my hands go, all of the blood just onto the floor. So I managed to save the carpet in the hotel room, but the bathroom was destroyed. And I was so tired, I just went back to sleep and I was like, I'll clean it later. I was not mentally prepared to deal with it in that moment. Yeah, I woke up at like fucking stupid o'clock because Satan decided to release out of my nose.
I have no memory.
Because I was trying to think, I felt like you had another one, but then Lizzie was saying that she thought it was at LeakyCon when we were at the one.
Do you remember at the one station? Because the sheer amount of nothing, and you literally went to crouch onto the floor because you were that close to having a mental breakdown that you started crying.
Oh my god, yeah, no, yeah. Out of all of us, I think I took the fact that we missed LeakyCon the worst. I literally gave up on life when we got there. I was like, I may as well just lay here and die. We salvaged it though. I mean, look, we're still talking about it all these years later.
We did not salvage it at all.
Didn't salvage that shit at all. I feel like we're just so used to shit going fucking sideways. Yeah. That we're like, it's water off a duck's back. We're like, all right.
Well, no, the only way I say that we salvaged it is because we got to meet fucking what's his tits?
Oh,
your man,
Sexy Dean.
Alfie, yes.
Alfie, Sexy Dean Thomas. And he was like, why the fuck is there an M in your name? And I was like, good question.
But even then, remember your one who was like, no signatures on the skin? And I was like, I know I'm pale, but does my skin look literally t-shirt white to you, you dumb fucking bitch?
Yeah, she was super aggressive for no reason.
Honestly.
Yeah, like, he looked at her as well. He was like,
yeah, he was like, chill out, like.
Because I literally asked him, would he mind signing my t-shirt? It's not like I was like, sign me here. Like, no.
And it was on your back as well, not like it would have been anywhere scandalous, yeah. Like your titties, like.
Draw your name on my nipples. Like, not how I planned on starting the episode. I had a question for you, but now it's completely null and void.
No, sure.
Oh, say it.
Say it.
Well, I was going to ask you, because me and David were talking about this the other day, and I have, for the last 2 weeks, I think I wanted to bring it up, but then forgot. I was wondering, have you any, like, sort of unjustified, but actually kind of justified, like, hatreds?
Crocs.
So, oh, fair. I'm, like, people are town-wise, I was thinking, but that also counts. That also counts.
Oh, people are town-wise?
Mm-hmm. Because with mine, I have developed recently a severe hatred for people from Munich. And the only reason I hate people from Munich is because they are constantly in my fucking netto. So, for context for the listeners, I live in a tiny town. There is one supermarket, and that is Netto. And that is the only place we can go to get our shopping unless we drive to the next town over, which, fuck that. But we can barely get in there these days because there's constantly cunts from fucking Munich, which is an hour and a half away, where they have 8 million fucking supermarkets, that they could go shopping on their own. But no, they come to my Netto and take all of my fucking food and hold up the time so that it takes me forever to get through it. And they're dicks as well in there. They're like, they're always stood in front of the aisles. So I've just, purely for that exact reason, I've developed a hatred for people from Munich. For that very small, petty reason.
I mean, very fair.
I really dislike the way people from Waterford say school.
Skewel.
Skull. Is it skull?
Skull.
No, it's skewel. No.
No, skull.
As someone who lived in Waterford, no the fuck it's not.
I've
never heard anybody from Waterford. Are you going to Skewell
tomorrow?
They that sounds more Limerick like to me, like.
No.
Yeah.
Girl was always the way they, I hated that as well. Girl.
No,
right,
they said
girl.
Skull. Skull. We're going skull. Skull. They used to say skull. The girls I met that were from Waterford used to say it like that anyways.
Really?
You one lad we went to college with, he was from Waterford and he'd say it like that as well.
And it really fucking bothered me. Yeah.
I wonder where they're from, like, maybe I was just in a part where they just pronounce it like that, but everything Kewell, Skewell, Garel, and I was like, where is the E? Tell me where the fucking E is that you need to drag it out that much. They drove me mental. I fucking hate Waterford. But my hatred of Waterford is justified, so I'm not even going to explain that one away.
I feel like I've random countries and I'm like, I just don't like the vibe.
I mean, like, I get that as well.
I feel like Norway sound.
Yeah.
Sweden, not so much. I don't know why. And I've never met anyone from...
I've met a group of people from Sweden when I was in Spain because we went to a nightclub owned by people from Sweden. They don't get our mannerisms at all. And it's like when you're trying to explain it to them, they get like really afraid. And it's like, I swear to God. Like even some of my friends are the most like literally angels. These people were like intimidated by them. Like it's like, love, calm
down.
I can
see that. From what I know of the Swedes, I mean, I haven't met many Swedes either, but from what I know of them, it makes sense. I can see it. It's very like...
Also the Finnish. Stringent? I don't know. I've met, like, you know when you meet... I mean, I feel like what happened is, like, I met one person, like, probably 10 years ago, and I was like, you're from this country. Like, I love fucking Cubans, because my best friend on holiday 1 year for, like, a week was from fucking Cuba, and she was a legend.
That is fair, though. People can really colour your opinion of a whole country.
Yeah.
They really can. What about you, Lizzie?
I don't really know. I actually don't think I have beef with like people from a particular town or like. Actually, you know what? People from Dublin. Sorry, now I take it back. Take it fucking back.
Yeah, but that's
back.
Every Irish person.
That's it. That's the entirety of Ireland except for Dublin.
And so I'm like, I hate everyone. Them. Bar just, the there's just something about it that grates me because it's like either the accent's too howya that it's like, ugh. Not that I have a lovely accent or fucking anything. But or then it's too like D4s. I'm like, shut up, you pretentious prick.
D4 is by far worse. So like, much worse. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind like the rougher Dublin accent at all.
Absolutely not. D4 is by far the worst.
Yeah, 100%. It's so bad.
Like, you literally. I just no, no. I hate it.
Like, all right, 90210. Calm the fuck down with your Uggs and Hollister hoodie. Annoys me.
But even at that, like, any time I go off to Dublin, I always see sights I don't want to fucking see.
Yeah, not wrong. And it's always a disaster trying to get around it. Even though the transport system is actually quite good, it's still somehow fucking terrible. I don't understand
it. It's so fucking bad. People get run over by the fucking Lewis every year.
A woman threw herself in front of the Lewis when I was on the way home from a concert. And we had to wait for the guards. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, should we?
No, you weren't with me.
You were there.
No, oh, no. Okay. I don't think it was when you were on your way home from a concert, Liz. I think you were on the way to me.
No, I wasn't.
Because it happened twice. Because no, I had remember. A text from you saying that
somebody threw themselves in front of a train when I was on it before, but that was just outside port.
Train.
No.
Yes. Yeah,
this
you're right.
Someone threw themselves in front of the Lewis while I was on it as well. I don't think they got, like, hit, though. I think it was kind of like...
Oh, yeah, like, the Lewis, like, slows down, but...
It was, like, awkward.
Mm. They won't, like, you know. Move off the line, and then the guards have to come, but they can't let you off the Lewis because it's on a line. Like, you know, you're not on a platform, so you're stuck there.
So, yeah. What a big load of fucking shit.
Yeah, then...
No, like, the Lewis is so dangerous, like, because you don't actually... Like, I feel like the lines should be, like, coloured or something, so you don't like, know where to look. Because I feel like you... They're not...
Oh, wait, I thought you meant, like, as in, like, the lines as in, like...
No.
If you're going in said direction, you're on the yellow, the red, the... Or do you mean, like, the actual track, like...
Yeah, because you don't fucking see it half the time, and it's very easy to, like, walk out onto a line.
But it's just... They're still on the road, like...
Some of them aren't. Some of them are kind of, like, where you think it would be pedestrian-y.
I don't think so,
it happened...
I can't say I've ever had an issue with seeing a Lewis line.
No, me neither.
On account of it being a big chunk of metal in the middle of a concrete road. But
I do not... Yeah, that's fair. I'm just saying. I can see why it would be easy to walk out in front of one as well.
I feel like they're doing it deliberately, in all fairness. I'm not sure it's an accidental thing. Yeah. It's like, this is a handy-dandy way to die. But it's not. It's really not.
It's definitely not, because they don't even go that fast.
Oh, they do, yeah.
But if they're not if going they, fast.
They do go fast enough, but like, I don't know if you die. I feel like someone did die by jumping in front of the Lewis before.
I suppose it would depend on where. You know what I mean? If they're going through like the city centre and stuff, they definitely have enough time to slow the fuck down if they see you as well.
But if you're on the straight, like going to Tala or Sagart, like.
But yeah, somewhere like that, then probably. But there's never where they do it, is it? They do it at like Red Cow or Penny.
Well, if you do it last second, like, it's easy. I'd say you can, do you know?
Fucking socks, jocks, and suicide.
What? What the fuck, Savannah? What Dublin. The fuck does that mean?
So I said, they do it at the Red Cow or Pennies. I know the Lewis line doesn't actually go by Pennies, but like it's close enough. You know what I mean? You go in, you get your socks, your jocks, and then a bit of suicide on the way home. At this point, speaking of things that are absolutely fucked, we should probably move on with the story. And I should probably tell you what I actually have in store for you today, because you don't know. So, in the interest of my rants last week, I started thinking very heavily about satanic cults and whether they do or don't actually exist, in the sense of, do people actually sacrifice other people to Satan? Yeah or no? I'm not entirely convinced, and I'm going to let you kind of come to your own conclusion about whether this was realistically a cult or not. I'm not convinced it really was, but I'll explain, obviously, as we go along and we get into the story. But we will be doing the Fall River cult murders today. And we're back in the 70s, of course, because when else?
Of course.
I feel like I was already
painting the timeline, like, in my head. I could see the flares, I could see the leather, I could see the fringe.
Yeah, 100%.
Just right.
So, we're just gonna dive right in. For background, for absolutely no reason, but only the fact that I really want to mention it, if Fall River sounds familiar to anyone, that is, in fact, where Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her father 42 axes. Her mother, sorry, fucked that up. But yeah, so this is where the Lizzie Borden murders took place. And then a few years later, we have the Fall River cult murders.
Fabulous. Massachusetts, is it?
So, Massachusetts, exactly. We're going to just go through the background of two of the main players in this cult. And there is an awful lot of debate about who the actual ringleader was, and whether one of them was actually involved at all. This is still ongoing to this day. The fight for whether or not the first person we're going to talk about should be set free, because he may or may not have done anything at all. But again, that is a matter of opinion, so we'll get into it. So we're starting with Carl Drew. So Carl Drew was born in 1954 in New Hampshire. And his family were farmers, and his father was apparently a violent alcoholic, which we love.
Yeah.
And he regularly beat and traumatized Carl.
Okay, standard.
Pretty much. One particularly traumatic event for Carl was when his father found a nest of dead rats in a well. So he tied a rope around young Carl's ankles and lowered him into the well to take the rats out.
That reminds me of a time, not that my dad ever did anything like that to me, but not that I'm comparing traumas, but here we go. I remember, I was terrified of mice, and that we had some up in the attic one winter, and dad used to obviously set down the traps, but he'd made me stand underneath the attic while he dropped the squished mice into a bag. Ooh. And I was to catch it, right, full of trauma. But then I remember one day he got one by the tail and ran after me around the house, this squished little fucking mouse.
Yeah, that sounds like Bertie Ulrich.
Traumatised.
So wait, he tied a rope around his ankle and lowered him in head first.
Into the well, head first, yeah.
Why not tie it around his waist like a normal fucking person? The blood's going to rush to your head and you're not going to be able to see shit or nothing.
I don't think his father particularly gave a flying fuck probably the reason why.
That's probably the answer, yeah.
Yeah. It was just a case of there's dead rats in our drinking water, so you may get them the fuck out and fuck you.
It sounds about right.
So while I'm this was definitely a traumatic experience for a child, at the same time, absolutely necessary that someone went into the well. And I don't think Carl was going to be lowering his fucking father down into it. He's bound to have been bloaty from all the alcoholism.
Yeah. So, the engorged.
It had to be the kid. It's just the way you rig him up. I feel like tying him by the ankles. is the most fucked up part.
Yeah, you could have made it fun, like, it exactly like you said, like, tie it to the back of his pants, do a bit of 007 with it, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretend
you
he's a spy.
You could have made it fun.
Could have made it fun, but you didn't.
No, you made it into trauma.
Yeah. Had to make it into fucking trauma and potentially have produced a serial killer out of it. Another time. Oh, we're not done with the trauma, of course. A barn fire had killed some of their horses, and so his father ordered him to go in and dismember the dead horses and throw them into this pit that they, like, kept all of the unusable parts of the animals that they butchered for, obviously, for sale. So, like, the pigs' bits and probably cows, I'm not sure. Not entirely sure exactly what animals are in there, but, like, the entrails, the bones, like, anything you wouldn't use or sell. So they just had a pit full of that shit, which
is fucking stank.
And that was, like, Carl's least favourite part of the farm for obvious reasons. He hated having to deal with that pit. So his father ordered him to butcher the horses and throw them into that pit. And Carl went in and looked at the, like, charred bodies of the horses and was like, I cannot fucking do that. And he tried to refuse. But his father was having none of that and literally beat him back until he backed up so much that he fell into the pit with all of the entrails.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh my god, I know they were slime.
Yeah, oh god. And like, sticky, starting to rot and, like, and decompose. And,
do you know, like, do you know the slime that the kids do play with? Like, one of those ones.
Oh, Lizzie.
But it's just full of, like, meat chunks.
Absolutely,
and fucking
right,
maggots.
Top.
Disgusting.
Like snot.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yes.
But worse, because worse smelling. I mean, I suppose snot doesn't really smell, does it? Or does it? Can you tell
imagine,
us how it smells? Does
imagine
it
doesn't. We don't know because we've just gotten used to it because it's, like, in our nose all the time.
Exactly. Like the way you don't see your nose, even though you can actually see your nose all the time. It's just your brain deleted it.
Yeah.
This is definitely...
Any scientist.
An absolutely useless tangent, but I'm so interested in knowing if snot actually smells now. Does snot smell? Please let us know. It's cesspoolpod@gmail.com. Just throwing that out there again. But yeah, so in 1968, when he was the big old age of 14, Carl said, fuck this, and left home for good. And he went to live on the streets. And he eventually ended up in Fall River in 1970 at 16, and immediately ended up on the wrong side of the law because he joined a biker gang.
Oh my god.
God bless.
So the gang he joined was called the Sidewinders, and they were actually affiliated with Hell's Angels. So it was, like, a real biker gang. It wasn't like now where there's, like, little biker gangs going around, but no one fucking cares.
Yeah.
They were, like, the actual scary ones that were doing all the drugs and shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
And crime and whatnot. But through that, he eventually figured out that the real money was in Big Pimpin'.
Oh!
And... at the time in Fall River, it was basically the entire place was a fucking red light district. Like, women would come from out of town to work Fall River because there was just so many Johns there that they knew they could make their money there.
Okay.
So,
and was Fall River, like, a place where people were often, like, coming in and out of, like, for it to have such a boom in business, like?
Yeah. It used to be, like, a textile town, I think, and then all of a sudden it turned into just, like, drugs and sex trafficking.
Right.
Okay.
So I'd imagine people probably did blow through there, but probably purely because they knew that that's where all the sex workers were.
Yeah.
So yeah, he went and he recruited himself some of said sex workers and took a large portion of their profits for himself, as pimps do. Mm. So Carl did develop a reputation for keeping his girls in line through violence, but you have to... I'm kind of like, I'm not surprised by that. What pimp didn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what other way, like, did pimps keep control of their women?
They kind of say that, like, it's not that it's not a bad thing. Obviously it is, but it's a very normal thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's... that's the standard, like.
Yeah. Like, so many of the sources were like, and he beat them. And I'm like, yeah, what else do pimps do? We're not saying it's a good occupation, but, like...
that's what they all do, like. It's not a surprise, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But he also didn't allow anyone else to harm them. And he did almost go to prison for kind of sort of murdering somebody. because he dropped a John off at one of his girls' apartments.
Mm.
And he just got a feeling. He got a feeling there wasn't something right with this guy. And about 5 minutes after he went in, he heard her scream bloody murder. So he ran up the stairs, found her with like a bloody nose. The guy was holding her by her hair and he lost his fucking shit, got in a fight with him. He ended up falling down the stairs. And a couple of days later, that man died in hospital. But because the police had never been able to take his testimony because he wasn't conscious and then died, there was never any evidence against Carl that he actually caused the murder, because the guy was also a drug addict. So they couldn't definitively say that the fight caused his death or if it was complications from his drug abuse.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So he didn't actually get done for murder, but technically murdered somebody.
Okay.
But I mean, don't be beating up prostitutes. Kind of your own fault. But yeah, so do with that information what you will. So that's Carl. Now our next big player is someone I find decidedly more fucked up. And that is Robin Murphy. Now, Robin Murphy was born around 1962 and she lived with her mother and stepfather in Fall River. She was described as always being cold and cruel and had above average intelligence.
So, psychopath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically.
Almost like hashtag confirmed already.
Hashtagging it now.
In around 1973, after a fight with her mother, Robin was walking the roads when Andy Maltese offered to give her a lift. He was 37 and a known drug addict and... bum, 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 pedophile.
Oh.
I was guessing the other P word, like pimping, but... wasn't expecting...
No.
Pedophile.
No, a known pedophile as well, which I'm like, that's a bit...
Ew.
Should we have maybe put him away or something?
Or down.
How do you be a known paedophile but still be out pedoing?
That's what I'd be wondering. They'd be like, oh, he was a known paedophile before he did this awful fucking thing to a child. And I'm like, why was he a known paedophile?
No one could have seen that coming.
A fucking free range paedophile, is what I'd say.
Just grazing the children.
On people.
Yep, honestly.
Do you know?
Honestly. I find it so ridiculous. Yeah, no, he was a known paedophile, and at this point she would have been 11.
Ooh.
Yeah, so lovely. He picked her up, she got in, happily got into the car with him, and he drove her out to a spot in the woods where they, in quotes, had sex.
Did they fall? No, they did not.
He raped her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not entirely sure that it wasn't... we'll say consensual, but either way, you can't give your consent.
It's either statutory
child.
Or it's either statutory, it's not. It was
super
rape, like.
Either way, that's it. So hence why I have had sex in the biggest inverted commas ever. But then he dropped her home. So he just brought her out, did things to this 11-year-old child that he thought was perfectly okay, and then brought her home as if that was a completely normal day. Because I suppose it was for him.
Trump.
But after that, it became a regular thing. He would pick her up from school, bring her to the exact same spot out in the forest, do bits, and then like he would give her drugs for good measure. 100%. Yeah. So even if this girl wasn't kind of like born to be a psychopath anyway, she did not have a chance with all of this going on. As Robin got older, she would bounce around from relationship to relationship with men and women, but still always maintain some sort of a toxic ass relationship with Andy. Andy wasn't exactly okay with the fact that Robin would see other people, so he would beat the shite out of her regularly for sleeping with other people, but she still did it anyway because she just didn't fucking care. But they were sort of in a relationship for quite some time. Now, it's likely Andy in the first place that introduced Robin to Satanism. And by 17, she was deeply involved in a bastardized version of Satanism, drug abuse and prostitution. And the reason I say bastardized is because we all know that Satanists are pretty fucking chill.
Oh, literally.
Right, Satanism isn't like, it's not really devil worship in the way that people think.
No, it's not at all.
It's more like Wiccan is what I would kind of imagine. It's like,
it's borderline Darwinism.
Yeah, like it's more like, it's like pagan stuff, I feel like, more so than like what you would assume Satanism is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I've known a couple of Satanists and absolutely none of them are out in the woods sacrificing cats on a blood moon. You know what I mean? It's like they're pretty chill. Satanism is almost a mockery of religion itself. it's like pointing out the ridiculousness of it. And I actually, I think we had this argument last week actually as well, same thing.
I feel like God is kind of in the wrong as well with the whole Lucifer thing, because didn't he fuck over, because Lucifer, wasn't he in a relationship with fucking, what's her name?
Lilith.
And then I found this out recently, he made Eve in the image of Lilith.
He did, absolutely.
Which is why that whole thing in the Garden of Eden happened, because he was like, oh my God, Lilith, like, and also, fuck you, God.
Yeah,
you're a big one.
Honestly, in the whole like Lucifer versus God situation, I am so on Lucifer's side, because the only thing he disagreed with God for was the creation of humans, and I too agree that that was a mistake. So
he wasn't wrong.
And
then God, being petty, made the only human female in the image of the woman that he was in love with.
Yeah,
he had also banished down to hell.
Like, if that's not petty, I don't know what petty is.
Like, oh, you don't want humans at all? Okay, let's make one exactly like the woman you're in love with.
Yeah. And also the woman that you cannot be in love with anymore because I banished you, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that's a dick. Anyway. Yeah. So, back to Robin and her version of Satanism. She wasn't satisfied with being a prostitute. Not because it was like an issue for her to be having sex with random people, because, you know, a-okay on that front. She knew that wasn't where the real money was, much like Carl figured out. And she wanted to get into pimping too. And so she absolutely did. And being the top pimp in the area very quickly became her ultimate goal. So it's also worth noting that Robin's teachers and pretty much anyone who ever knew her ever described her as an excellent liar, a bully, a manipulator, and as having absolutely no remorse.
Sure, she was caught out for the game.
Yep, 100%. So, as far as most sources go, Carl and Robin absolutely hated each other from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But they still managed to get twisted up together in a truly twisted story of murder, lies, and satanic sacrifice. And this is where the fun stuff begins. So they're the major players. We have one more to discuss, but Andy Maltese is also detrimental to this story. So there's unfortunately a lot of names. I have left some of them out because I just don't find them that crucial in the space of time that I have to go through this. And as well, it was notoriously difficult. I fucking hate myself. I do this all the time. It was notoriously difficult to actually find source material on this. So my sources... the entirety of the internet. I went to pages of Google I didn't know existed. So yeah, there's not actually a lot of information aside from what I'm going to give. But there are a couple of names that I have deliberately left out because they just don't matter. They're just other members of the cult that were somewhat involved. But they don't matter as much as these people.
Hmm.
Next, we have Karen Marsden. So Karen was the main link between Carl Drew and Robin Murphy in the beginning. Karen worked for Carl as a prostitute, but she also happened to end up in a relationship with Robin.
Right.
So Karen was 20 and was described as a meek woman who was easily manipulated. And she got into prostitution to support her heroin addiction, which is usually the case, sadly. But she also had a young son. She had a 1-year-old son who was living with the foster family. Right. And even though she was still like very much addicted to heroin, she was also kind of trying to use prostitution then as a means of like staying in touch, like giving him money and kind of still being able to be part of his life, because she would still visit him at the foster family. Karen was absolutely pinnacle in exposing the satanic coven, because they weren't even a coven, they were called a coven, where Robin and Carl both worshipped Satan. Allegedly. Can't give any verified facts here, as this whole story is fucking twisted. So, the group would supposedly meet in the forest and sacrifice animals to Satan at a stone altar to try and summon him. And in the winter, when the forest was too cold for that, they would meet at the apartment of a former prostitute and ex-girlfriend of Robin, Sunny Sparta, which is the coolest fucking name I've ever heard.
Very cool name.
Classy.
Sunny fucking Sparta. Like, how cool. Sparta. Yeah, and Sunny Sparta was kind of like a den mother as well, so she wasn't really exactly a pimp, but she would like take care of the other prostitutes for Robin.
Right.
And I think also Carol, but definitely Robin. And she had a like large painting of Lucifer himself in her living room. And I mean, huge. It took up almost the whole wall. And that's where they would meet to like chant and speak in tongues. Again, in the largest fucking quotation marks ever. And basically, yeah, they would try to summon Satan for whatever purpose they wanted to summon him
for.
Well,
I mean, if you think of it, right? He was a fallen angel, and all angels are beautiful, so he was definitely a sexy little bastard. So...
Well, he is quoted as being the finest of all of them.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if he's...
I mean...
Unreal. Like, he's class looking like. So...
So you think they were trying to summon him to fuck?
Yeah. Or just to marvel at.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know?
Both are good.
Both are good, yeah.
I mean, you're absolutely not wrong.
I don't think I am.
I mean, like, both are options that I feel like if you're going to summon someone, really.
It's either to stare at them or shag them. Yeah.
I mean, that this is...
It's not... It's out the realm of possibility, I don't think.
It's not. It's definitely not. The only problem there, I could say, from the way it's described, is that it did. They never said that he actually appeared in physical form. That you could kind of feel the spirit of Satan in the room with you, or he would, like...
What about those people that shag ghosts?
Somebody.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
Do you remember your one from County Louth that married that 300-year-old ghost pirate? And she says that they used to have...
Yeah, and she was on Good Morning.
They used to have sex and everything. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was on This Morning and all that kind of shit. So unless it was one of them situations...
She goes off... She astral projects or something into like the air where so she can hang out with him in their like spirits or something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
And then
or is that someone else? I don't know.
No, that is her.
No. Yep, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it very well could have happened because no one really knows what went down when they would have their meetings except for the people that were in the cult. Like, they've said bits and therefore thus I have some bits, but to the true extent of what they would do, nobody fucking knows.
Nobody
so
has a fucking
notion. For all we know, they were having mad astral sex as well as physical sex, because I'm sure there was orgies. There's bound to be orgies.
Bound to be.
There has to be orgies. Wasn't the whole thing of like physical pleasure is supposed to help in the summoning thing, or is that just with witchcraft and voodoo and like stuff like that?
You're not asking the right person.
Not sure. Probably here too. No. Either way, we'll assume yes, 100% right. But yeah, so Sunny would claim that the rituals would work sometimes. She didn't say they worked all of the time, but sometimes they would. And you would, like I said, feel Satan in the room with you. And some people would let him speak through them in his own language. And she said it was definitely no human language and no one could fake it.
I mean, I'm very confident. I could start talking to you maybe in a made up language and you'd be like, oh my God, like she has to be speaking something really fluently. If you do anything with confidence, people believe it. So you could definitely lie about it.
Isn't that what speaking in tongues is? You just to be saying things.
Yeah, you're just making noises. Yeah.
But apparently there is actually a whole psychological aspect behind it. Wherein people kind of studied it, where they got people to do these sort of rituals where they would end up speaking in tongues. And it doesn't, whatever they're saying, it doesn't come from the language center of the brain. It comes from the emotional center of the brain. So basically, you lose the ability to speak. And that's why you're speaking in tongues. But your emotions completely take over. So you want it so bad, you force it to happen.
That's the stupidest thing.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense.
So you're kind of vocalizing your feelings rather than actually saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Your language, the language center of your brain will actually decrease its productivity during these kind of episodes. There's a word for it, which I just can't remember. But yeah, apparently it's a real thing.
Look at you being a little well of information, huh?
The amount of research. The amount
that's
of research.
That's so interesting. We'll be Googling that later tonight.
Definitely do. And the name for it is super fucking weird. It's like Flagellaria or something fucking weird like that. But I can't remember it at all. But yeah, so that's essentially, that is apparently what happens, but it's, again, there's only been a handful of studies on it, so it can't be like 100% verified that this is what happens in every case. But yeah, that's most likely what happened, is that because they were all together in that emotional surrounding, anyone who is speaking tongues, and because they all seem to be speaking the same language, it's because everyone's brain will do the same fucking thing when it shuts down.
Right.
The language center. So that's why it seemed like it would work. Or we're all wrong and Satan actually did come into these people. What the fuck do we know? So they also believed that sex, drugs and alcohol were gifts from Satan, basically celebrating a life of pleasure and sin rather than a life of abstinence and boredom in the promise of an afterlife that you may or may not get.
I mean, fair point.
100% get
exactly.
Behind
that.
Fair point,
exactly.
My love.
Yeah.
First of all, if when you die, right, and okay, we say heaven's not real. At least you had a good time. Like, there's no afterlife. You had a good time with your life. If it does end up being real, just be like, listen, God, any of the things that, you know, I did that were bad for him, I'm sorry. Because I'm presuming we're nice people, we actually would feel bad. And then they let you in, because that's the point.
Yeah, because you're apparently, all you have to do is repent for your sins and then you're forgiven, so.
Yeah, like, as long as you're not a massive dickhead.
Yeah. The whole aspect of anyone going to hell then in that perspective is completely nullified, and I've had this argument for so long. I'm like, if I can just apologise on my deathbed, then am I really a good person? No, but I've said sorry, so.
You have to mean it, but like, that would mean that anyone who can't actually feel regret would go to hell. So
that's fair. That is true.
Do you know?
That is fair. But
then
I mean,
what if you actually don't feel bad? What if I'm like, yeah, fuck them?
Yeah. It's also the argument of, if, like, the devil wants you to sin, then why the fuck would he punish you for being a sinner?
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Then he's basically doing God's work. Makes no sense. So yeah, I'm 100% behind their belief of live your life while you're living. Like, makes complete sense. Why would you wait to live when you've died? That makes fuck all sense. Yeah, congratulations, you're in the abyss now, you don't even know.
Do you know who I really don't feel bad for? Is those fucking people like the Westboro Baptists, who are such massive arseholes here in the hope of getting into heaven later. They're not getting in shit.
Real.
Oh no.
They're not getting burning in anywhere. Real fucking crisp in one of the fucking rings of hell. 100%.
100%. 100%. There's 0% chance that if heaven is real, those bastards are getting into it. Not a chance.
And if they do, they'll
be full on Spartan kicked from the pearly gate all the way down to the absolute pits.
Like, send me off to hell with sexy Lucifer and we'll hang out and have a few cans.
Couple of cans with the lads, like, just Lucy and Beelzebub. Like,
absolutely down with it.
Chilling with the boys.
Facts. Think of the crack we would have in hell, lads. We would have the best time.
They definitely have, like, little, like, viewing booths where you can look at people that are still alive when you can, like, do things that, like, fuck up their day.
Yes. Like, make them stand on, like, a charger plug.
Oh my God.
Or a piece of Lego.
That would be amazing.
Oh, I stood on one of those. You know those things, like, that hold up the shelves in your wardrobe, and they've, like, those little pins. Mm-hmm. Oh, I stood on one of them. I stood on it so hard. It was the worst fucking thing that's
But you have to
through.
Include things that inconvenience with them. So, yeah, they step on that peg, but now they can't find it after they've stepped on it, so they have one wobbly shelf in their wardrobe. And, like, they go to plug their phone in to charge it for the night and they have their alarm set for work the following morning, but the USB is just ever so slightly out so it won't charge, so they don't wake up. All those slight inconveniences, I would do that to them every single day, multiple,
like,
times.
Yeah, they're always,
that's real,
always
torture.
Out of toothpaste.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Or
like,
right when
they
sit down to shit, they have no toilet paper. But it's too late because they've already pushed it
and
out.
And no socks.
Or maybe they just have people that are like, you know, the shit that happens to us, you know, like, I mean, Lizzie's bath bomb that ends up looking like Shrek swamp water.
Still triggered.
Worse, Liz. Wet socks. Or we getting stuck on a Lewis. All of these things. That's what I would do. I would just
mildly inconvenience
everyone.
That fucking
Lewis
thing, I was so agitated over that. I missed work. I'd call in sick to work when I was in Supermax. Because
I mean, realistically,
I missed my train.
Favor for you, but
I mean, realistically, it was like that sad about it. No,
no,
but it was quite stressful because we were like, just always like pressing the button, being like, why won't it open?
Literally, could not get off it. Like, again, back to the disasters of LeakyCon, because there was just so much inconvenience that happened.
Was that
to us
LeakyCon?
That
was,
and do you remember we got
that
shit
as
fucking
well.
Chinese?
Oh fucking hell!
And I was irate
directly after
that was
we got stuck in the Lewis. Yeah,
that was my breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took like fucking 3 hours to come. Because he went to the wrong hotel. And
we were overcharged.
Yeah.
And then the food was shit. But alas, back to the cult.
We got triggered there for a second.
So triggered. All of this because they were like, live your life now, man. And then we were just like, rant. So, the police had been aware of certain satanic groups in the area at the time, but they didn't really have any reason to pay any mind to it because like they weren't really doing anything to bother anyone. So they just left them be. But that all changed when the body of... Okay. I might need your help here. So it's... The way I've heard it pronounced is Doreen Levesque. And it's Lavesque. I feel like you'd pronounce the S, but I've heard it pronounced as Levesque. And
spell it again.
Lavesque.
I'd say Levesque.
Yeah.
Okay, Levesque. We'll go with Levesque. Again, deep apologies if I pronounce the name wrong, but I can only do so much. So, yeah. The body of Doreen Levesque was found under the bleachers of a local high school in 1979. This is where things get real fucked up. And I mean, fucked up. There is three murders in this story. And I have to say they are possibly some of the worst murders we've covered. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to give the full details on what happened. Most sources also don't give the full details of what happened. There's one source I saw where something truly horrific happened. But I'm not even going to mention it. But I'll tell you guys off air later. Yeah. So just bear that in mind. This is true horror territory. So if you don't want to listen anymore, I recommend turning us off because I can't give a timestamp. It's just, it's awful from here on out.
Okay. Nice.
So. At first, the police assumed that Doreen's murder was sex crime related because she was also a prostitute. And she was laid on her front, almost completely naked, aside from her torn blouse. And that was until they flipped her over and discovered that her face and head had been completely caved in, evidently by the heavy, blood-soaked rocks that laid nearby. There were other signs that Doreen had been tortured before she was killed by stoning.
Oh.
So she had basically been stoned to death. And then had her face and head caved in with heavy rocks. And she was also most likely, though they can't fully confirm it, sexually assaulted. But yeah, so there were signs of sexual assault. But again, because she was a sex worker, it's kind of hard to know if it was related to the murder or if she'd been assaulted beforehand. Yada, yada, yada. Either way, this was not a fucking pretty sight. And the police didn't really have any sort of idea where to even start looking suspect-wise. Because... they just couldn't figure out why or who would ever want to kill a teenage girl this brutally. So they didn't have a whole lot to go on until Andy Maltese, the big pedo. Remember him?
Fucking pedo Andy.
Like, you're already such a shit person. Why do you have to be, like, the worst person?
Well, again, there is some argument that Andy was deeply schizophrenic or some other sort of personality disorder. He wasn't right, that's for sure. Andy had some definite mental illness, but I don't know what, so I'm not really going to comment on it too much. But you're going to very quickly see here that Andy is in fact a loon. He went forward to the... Sorry, just Andy's whole side of this just makes me die. He went forward to the police, who were investigating the murder, and told them that he had information about the murder. Now, he called, he sounded high on the phone, and it took the police a further week to actually get back in contact with him again to even find out what the fuck this idiot wanted them for. But he eventually told them that the murders were connected to a cult of Satan-worshipping pimps and prostitutes in the area. So this particular cult was just made up of pimps and prostitutes. It wasn't any, like, we'll say regular person. It was just them. Not him, of course. Jeez, he wasn't involved in this. Again, no one Satan worshipper.
Not by Andy.
But not him. He wasn't involved. No. He no longer worshipped the good Lord Satan. He had seen the light of Jesus and was now a born-again Christian. And he whipped a pocket Bible out of his fucking pocket to prove it.
Andy, So embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
Literally, like, I don't worship Satan anymore. Look. Jesus book. Look at him.
You fucking loser.
Yep, honestly. So, that's Andy. He told the police that he himself knew nothing of the murder, but he knew two people who did. Robin Murphy and Karen Marsden. So, when they were interviewed by the police, about a week later, Andy got them to come in by telling them it was in connection to something else, because he knew they'd never talk to them if it was related to the murder. But he eventually got them to go in, and the police kind of took them by surprise then when they were like, who killed Doreen? Robin claimed she had absolutely no knowledge at all. Didn't know anything. What do you mean? There was a murder? I haven't a clue. But Karen, she panicked. And she immediately blurted out that Carol Drew had committed the murder. But she was reluctant to say any more after that. The police tried to work closely with Karen over time to get more information from her, because they kind of seen that she was sort of the weak link. And that if they were going to get any information out of anyone, it was definitely going to be Karen. It wasn't going to be Robin. But she constantly backed away, fearing for her life if Carol Drew were to find out that she was talking to the police, and even refused witness protection, thinking that somehow he would still find a way to hurt her, or that he would hurt her family if she went into witness protection. So she literally said, what's the fucking point?
That's fucking sad though.
So she refused it. Andy, however, was absolutely loving his chats with the police, and was calling them up day and night to give them useless information and to yap on to anyone that would listen about his newfound love of Jesus
Christ. All Andy's doing is trying to deflect away from the fact that he's a nonce. So he's trying to hang everybody else out and try to show how much of a good person he is.
Genuinely. And like, he seemed to be under the illusion that he was working undercover for the police in an attempt to infiltrate the cult. And literally all of the police were like,
you're a fool.
Okay, Andy.
Absolutely.
So, when Andy reported his recent ex-girlfriend missing in November, no one really paid him any attention, assuming that she was just off with her new boyfriend, avoiding the fuck out of Andy.
Pedophile, yes.
That was until a hunter and his dogs were out in the field, where they found the decomposed body of a woman, naked from the waist down, hands and wrists bound with wire. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Right. So was Doreen. Doreen's wrists and feet were also, I just realised I wrote hands and wrists. I meant wrists and ankles.
But do you know what? I knew exactly what you meant. I didn't even hear.
Sorry, I was very tired writing my notes.
I
didn't even hear
that, but I knew exactly what you meant.
Apologies. I fucked it up. But yes, I forgot to mention that Doreen was also bound by wire. So both of these women were bound, wrists and ankles, with wire. Bloody cinder blocks were found nearby, and again her head and face had been crushed. She also had most definitely been sexually assaulted before her death. So here lay Barbara Raposa, the ex-girlfriend of Andy. So they questioned Andy and Barbara's new boyfriend about her murder, but didn't really have any sort of good leads on it to pin it on either one. So there wasn't any evidence connecting them to it. There wasn't solid enough motive. Especially her new boyfriend. He was like, I don't know. We went for dinner. She went out to work the streets. I never saw her again. That was it. So it seemed again that the police were kind of left with absolutely no rhyme nor reason for this murder. Or any sort of good leads. But their prayers were answered by the psychic gods of lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences. Andy to the rescue.
Fucking LSD dreams. Who the fuck is believing this fool? Oh, Jesus, go on.
Genuinely, this is some PCP bullshit. Like, this motherfucker turns up one day to tell them that he knew exactly, 100% what happened to Barbara. And he came, for whatever reason, dressed in full cowboy gear. The shirt, the fucking, the boots, the whole shebang. Sure. The national outfit of the born-again Christian. So, naturally, the police asked him, well, how the fuck do you know what happened to Barbara if you supposedly didn't know that she was dead? And he said, well, I had a dream last night. He had a dream where he was hovering over Barbara's body and had seen everything that happened to her. He said he watched as they beat her to death with a piece of concrete. Now, bear in mind, it had not been released to the public that what was used to beat her skull in very was actually suspicious. Concrete. Because they found, like, obviously concrete in her hair and stuff, so they knew. Yeah. You would just think, like, oh yeah, they beat her head in with, like, a rock or a bit of wood or something. You know what I mean? You wouldn't specifically automatically know it was concrete unless you knew it was concrete. It's already fucked up there. And she was calling out to him to help her as if she could see him. So he said that himself, that it was like she could see him while he was floating there in his lucid dream. For obvious reasons, police took his dream as a confession because he was also, they showed him pictures of the field and they were like, point out where you saw her body. And he pointed to the exact spot where Barbara's body was found. So, yeah. They took that as a confession and confidently took him into custody, thinking that they had their perp for not just her murder, but both murders, because obviously they were extremely similar. And Andy was also the only one connected to both women and had motive and knowledge of both murders. That was until once again, Karen Marston called them and pointed the finger right back at Carol Drew. This point, there's no reason for anyone to suspect Carol apart from the fact that Karen keeps saying that Carol committed the murders, and eventually Robin does as well.
Man, she's just trying to get rid of competition, so she has that little bit. That's all that's wrong with that one.
Boop, boop. That's my reasoning. Yeah. I mean, we're not quite done. I don't think Carol was entirely innocent, but I don't think he really had anything to do with it at all. As in, I don't mean by any means he was a good man, but I'm not convinced he was involved in these murders. But anyway, just my personal opinion. So Karen also seemed to be growing more and more afraid of Robin Murphy. She told police that Robin took her and another woman out to the forest, where she told them that that was the spot where Carol Drew would kill them if they talked to the police, by injecting battery acid into their veins and offering their souls up to Satan.
You'd be less afraid of the soul offering. Battery acid off. You'd be fucked.
Yeah. It's a bad way to die, but I have some issues with this. First, it's Robin saying that Carol will kill them. Just Robin's word for it. And secondly, if Carol committed these other murders where the women were bound, stoned to death and beaten,
yeah, why would
their heads caved in with a fucking rock, why would he inject them with battery acid?
That makes sense.
That's, you know what I mean? I don't know. I have some issues with it. But alas, she told the police that if they were to find her dead, Carol Drew was the one who killed her. So Robin, later that day, went to the police herself and told them that she had been there when Andy killed Barbara and that she couldn't take the guilt anymore. She had to tell them. And now that he was in custody, she felt confident enough to go forward because she wasn't afraid of him.
Right, anymore. Robin.
So what she said happened, and again, I have issues with this, but yeah, right. Hold that sentiment because you're about to feel much more of it in just a second. Mother of God. So apparently she was in the car with Andy and they went and picked up Barbara. And because Barbara and Andy had just recently broke up, Andy just very casually turned to Robin and said, I'm going to murder Barbara. Okay. And so they got into a fight in the car, as one does. So Andy pulled up into the field, as in the field where she was found.
Is this Andy shagging field where he used to bring like all young ones?
No, that was the forest. No. That was the forest. This is just a field that happened to be, it's behind some sort of business, out of the way. But no, it's not the shagging field.
Oh my God.
Although,
well, I just wouldn't have been surprised.
According to Robin, yes. Because Barbara, inexplicably, after having a fight with Andy, got out of the car and decided, you know what? Now is the exact time to have sex. So she took off her pants and lay down on the grass just waiting for Andy to put his penis inside of her. And so he did. They had sex. And then immediately afterward, bearing in mind now, Robin is in the car during all of this, just listening to the radio, just like bopping, having a good time, fucking Beach Boys, chilling, not a bother. And immediately after they were done banging, Barbara and Andy got into another fight. And it was then that Robin looked over and saw Andy beating Barbara to death. And then he got back into the car very casually and drove off. That's her version of what happened.
Robin, I'm going to call her spade, she's a lying little cunt. She's a lying little cunt.
Yeah.
Why would anyone, after having a fight with their ex-boyfriend, just stroll out, take off their pants and lay down in the field waiting for Dick? Explain to me.
To then resume fighting just after.
Why would that ever happen? And why would you think you're going to find Danny in a field either?
Yeah.
Like, you'd go into town, like, on the pool. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to lie down in a field. Who are you going to find in a field? No one.
My second issue with the story, he left everything else at the crime scene, all of, like, the murder weapon, the whole shebang, but he took her pants with her, because I found no report of the pants being found at the scene. So he just took her pants with him.
I mean, sure.
And left everything else there. Three, she was found bound with wire. At what point did he tie her up? It was never mentioned about him tying her up. Just three, apart from the whole story being ridiculous, that's three holes that have really bothered me. But it didn't seem to bother the police.
Of course it didn't, because why would it?
Of course not.
They, for whatever reason, they believed Robin, and they kind of took her word as Bible, as gospel truth. And we'll get to it once we get to the arrest, but it just fucking annoys me to no end. But we're getting to the worst part.
So exciting.
The next day, the police get a call reporting a woman's missing granddaughter. Karen Marsden's fears came true, and she was gone. She went missing in September, and it wasn't until January, if I'm right, if I'm not mixing it up with the other murder. They never actually found Karen. They found Karen's skull, and they were only able to identify it because she had had some surgery. I believe it was for a deviated septum.
Ah.
And so they had x-rays of her skull, and that's how they were able to find out that it was her skull.
Right.
They found her skull. They found clumps of her hair, and they found some of her jewellery, and three cat skeletons laid in sort of a triangle form. That's it. That's all they ever found of Karen.
I was going to say, like, yeah, it is odd, but I don't even know if I'd necessarily say, oh yeah, this is Satanism. Three cat bodies in a skull.
Yeah, the cats do sort of, yeah, and there was also a sheep. Which cats and sheep are obviously kind of apparently very often used in satanic offerings.
Isn't that lambs though, or goats instead of sheep?
No, sheep as well. I think it's kind of a variety, like sheep, goats.
The goats definitely. And like, yeah, sheep kind of play into that as well, I guess. But, and then cats, I'd like, why cats? But I suppose because cats are easily available. They're probably easier to get than goats or sheep.
And yeah, sheep are in the Bible as well, if that's, you know, anything to do with anything. You know, your man was meant to kill his son, but then God was like, we can kill that sheep instead.
Yeah, they were like, lol, just kidding. Just give me a sheep, all is well.
We were just testing you.
But that's it. There's so many like Bible things in this, like the stoning, the sacrifice of a lamb, like all of that shit. It's almost very fucking old timey.
It's very
Christian, Catholic. What's the general term for us?
Christian.
So it is kind of weird. But yeah, so the only thing that kind of was like, oh yeah, this was satanic sacrifice, was the cat bodies that were found there. Might not have even been related. Like, God only knows how far Karen's skull travelled. You know what I mean? Could have been taken off by animals or anything and kind of ended up there where somebody might have sacrificed cats. But alas, police went and interviewed Carl Drew. But they didn't have any real reason to hold him or pin the murders on him. Because the only thing they had that pinned his name to it was Robin or Karen.
Mm.
So the interviews they did with Carl and all of the associates and friends of Carl, and they just kind of trickled their way through the group, eventually led the police to go undercover and attend a cult meeting.
Oh, Jesus.
Realistically, this gave them nothing but a few spooky chills and a bit of free food. But... Apparently, one of the officers heard Robin Murphy in a bedroom speaking to another prostitute in this otherworldly kind of manly voice that could not possibly have come from a woman.
You're fucking saying that
Satan will take his toll. Yeah, exactly. Like, literally only did it last week where I made Lizzie fucking physically sick with the voice that I did.
And if you ever do that again, I mean...
Do it now, Will. I
want to
hear.
I do not want to because I have the scratchiest throat. If I do it now, I'll be like, for the rest of the podcast.
Okay, but you owe me.
I will owe you a Satan voice at some point. Yeah. I agree. But it did, because of this as well, overall make police more suspicious of Robin Murphy. And they began to monitor her more closely. It was then, over a phone call that I assumed that they bugged her phone, that they heard Robin admit that she had murdered Karen Marston. So finally, this bitch was hauled in as a suspect as opposed to a witness. And sure, okay, she had been around for Karen and Doreen's murders, but no way, Jose, did she kill them.
Okay.
That's what she's saying. She's like, yes, I was there, but no, I didn't kill them.
So I'm just an accomplice, like, that's all I am.
Yeah. She said she was just sitting in the car for a few short minutes while Doreen was slowly being stoned to death, but she didn't hear anything. So she said, like, the guys that killed her took her out of the car. They were just sitting in the car, didn't hear anything while she was being tortured to death and bludgeoned to death. They didn't come back covered in blood. They didn't fucking take forever because it would have, literally the police said that it would have taken quite some time for her to have died the way she was killed. But this bitch is trying to say it all happened in about 5 minutes. They were gone and came back carrying Doreen's shoes. And she didn't hear a thing. She didn't know Doreen had been murdered at all. And when
liar.
It came to Karen. So here we go. Now, again, this is okay. Disgusting. This is the worst one of the three. I apologize in advance. But this is what Robin says happened to Karen. And there's a few other people that are like, yeah, that's what happened. But it's a bit of... he said, she said about who actually did what, whether it was willing or not or forced, and whether certain people were there or not. So, okay. So Robin claimed that she did sort of have a hand in the murder of Karen, but only because she was forced to by Carol Drew. Carol sacrificed Karen to Satan as recompense for her talking to the police. He ordered Robin to get her out of the car and into a clearing in the woods, and so Robin complied, dragging Karen out by her hair into the clearing and beating her as she struggled along the way. The group all then began pelting Karen with stones until Robin held her by the throat while Carol cut off her hand. Then, with Karen weakened, again, I apologise, Carol supposedly ordered Robin to perform oral sex on Karen, which, out of fear, she did.
Yeah.
Out of fear in commas.
The fuck?
Mm-hmm. So then, he ordered Robin to finish the job by slitting Karen's throat, after which he made double sure that Karen was dead by picking her up and snapping her neck, and then, based on what source you believe, either he or some of the other cult members grabbed Karen's head and twisted it until they ripped her head off of her body. Then they started kicking
so
it around
excessive.
Like a football.
And for what?
Finally, Carol took blood from the body and drew symbols across it, chanting and offering Karen's soul up to Satan.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, like I said, that was a lot. If, and I mean, it is fairly likely that a lot of it did happen, if not all of it, because, like I said, they only found her skull. They never found her body. So her head was, she was definitely decapitated. The fact that they ripped her head off with their bare hands.
Yeah, but did they, like?
Like, obviously they had some assistance with the slit throat and the broken neck.
That's fucking...
I feel like that's
the,
like, big if true. Like, I feel like, if anything, they probably sliced her neck a good few times with that fucking knife. Like, I doubt. Because even by the time, like, if you did slit someone's neck, the amount of power you would have to be able to get through all the cartilage, rip the fucking bone off and everything. Good luck to you, pal. Bollocks.
Yeah, well, I mean, once the bone is already separated, would it snap? Like, if they snapped it well enough, it is possible. It's not impossible. But it is...
Acmorphid-like.
Unlikely.
I still think it's bollocks.
Like, could have happened, but like you said, big if true.
Yeah.
But even just to tell that version of events is fucked.
Oh yeah, but there, that's just because they want to be,
you know,
like,
I mean?
Oh
and
yeah,
then
well,
the whole
big bang
thing of,
like,
kicking
like,
her head around like a football. Yes.
Yeah. It's only for
that's
drama.
That's exactly
like.
It. Yep. Exactly that. So, yeah, apparently after all of that fucking murder, they all just kind of tipped off. They were happy enough with their sacrifice to Satan, had themselves a nice little bit of dinner, and went off to Betty Bye's. not bothering them. So that's the apparent story of how Karen was murdered. Now, police somehow managed to take Robin's word on all of this. Everything she said, pinning the murders on Carol Drew and pinning the murders on Andy Maltese. They took her word 100% that all of what she said was true. Verified fact. And when it came time for all of the trials against Andy for the murder of Barbara and Carol for the murders of Doreen and Karen, Robin was the star witness and she landed both men in prison with a life sentence. So Carol Drew has protested his innocence from the beginning and still does to this day, saying he had never been involved in a satanic cult and had absolutely no knowledge of the murders because he wasn't fucking there. Robin had started the idea of a cult. Now again, this is according to Carol.
Mm.
Using it as a threat against prostitutes, claiming that there was a cult that would kill them unless they paid her a protection fee.
I mean, makes complete fucking sense.
Mm-hmm. And then it all suddenly became too real. Robin herself even backtracked on her story after she herself was imprisoned for her part in the Karen Marsden murder. She said she had in fact made it all up and it was an attempt to frame Carol Drew to get him off the streets. Now, she tried to say that she had been told that Carol had murdered people and so she wanted to get him off the street by saying that he was involved in these murders. I don't believe that for a second. I think it's exactly what you said, Lizzie. She wanted to get rid of her main competition. She didn't fucking like him. Yeah, either she was firsthand involved and committed the murders herself or she most definitely orchestrated them.
I'd say her and fucking Nonserific over there, they were two peas in a fucking pod. And she was getting him to do the dirty work and that's how she was able to get the other one out into the middle of the fucking field. She wanted your man gone for competition's sake. And then the fact that, I know Karen was minding, or not minding, like she was like kind of the one that was caring after the sex workers and stuff like that. They would have been seen together quite a lot one day. So
Why
would Robin ever kill somebody that was like looking after her girls? But sure, Robin didn't care because Robin was a little psychopath. Yeah. So she just saw that as an ends to a means to make the story more believable.
Exactly that.
That's all that's wrong with that little bitch.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, her saying that she made it all up did nothing to help Carol Drew. Because by this stage, she had been established as such a fucking liar and such an unreliable person by the police and the justice system that they were like, we don't even care anymore. They just did not believe her.
Jesus Christ.
And they were fully over her bullshit. So when it came to Andy Maltese, he died in prison after multiple strokes. So even if he had never actually committed the murder, it didn't fucking matter because he hadn't a chance of getting out of prison.
Yeah.
But I say, good riddance. He should have been in prison for all the Nancy bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not a case of an innocent man going into prison. It's a dickhead that never got caught for the shit that he should have been caught for. But Carl is still attempting to get a retrial due to inadequate legal counsel and lack of any sort of actual evidence aside from Robin's fucking testimony. And Robin Murphy is also still trying to appeal her sentence and her next appeal will be next year sometime.
Leave the bitch to rot.
Yeah.
Leave her to rot.
So I actually read one of her appeals, her appeal from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of that she was like, I'm a changed person. I realise now how much my lying hurt people. I'm really sorry for everything I've done. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It was like big bullshit.
Are you sorry, Robin? Bullshit. Because people are in prison. Still
in her 50s at this point. Yeah. Yeah. And so out on Murderpedia, there is a big long statement from Carl himself about his innocence. And like I said, I don't in any way believe the man is entirely innocent. But I don't particularly believe that he has anything to do with these murders. And apparently a lot of other people don't either. Because there is a docu-series. Now, I couldn't get it, unfortunately. It is not available in my fucking country. But anyone in America, for sure, you can get it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's just called Fall River. And it is, I would like to say, a 6-part docuseries investigating the people accused of being in charge of this cult and the murders and how much we actually think is true of that. But the producer of that docuseries basically said that a dog with a mallet up its arse could tell you that Carol Drew wasn't involved.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough to actually full out say that he didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
But I definitely think that Robin Murphy was 100% the ringleader.
Absolutely she was.
And that is the twisted story of the Fall River satanic cult murders.
Your one was just so fucking dramatic. Like, I guarantee it, there was nobody even really, like, fully into the whole Satanism thing. Like, it wasn't a thing. Like, big if true.
Not to the extent, like, that.
That they're being made out to be, like, there's not a hope. Only that little cow completely dramatised everything.
Exactly. Exactly that. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, I cannot believe they took her, even though she's literally admitted to being involved in the murder, was told by, the police told other people, or the police were told by other people that she was involved in the murder and was in fact the ringleader of it all. They took her word for it and imprisoned two men just on her word. How?
Oh, yeah.
Without a shred of fucking physical evidence. It boggles the mind. It truly does. But this is what I meant in regards to saying that I don't actually fully believe they were a true satanic cult. In the sense that this was all a fabrication by Robin Murphy in order to control people and manipulate them and control them by fear. And I believe that some of the cult members believed that they were in a cult, a satanic cult, and that what they were doing
probably
was weird.
Just to be fucking edgy.
The actual,
like,
organisers.
Not even that, it was anything like that they were like
yeah, exactly.
towards. They just wanted to be different.
I think this was born of the satanic panic. You know what I mean? Satanic panic was such a thing that they were like, oh hey, yeah, great, let's start a cult. That makes the most sense. So it's not that the satanic panic was justified and, oh, look, there actually was satanic cults in the operating in the area. I think it was a direct
the
cause
satanic
of
satanic panic, not between 80s and 90s.
And if they weren't whinging so much about Satan and
73?
His fucking influence.
Was it 73? 79. I don't think satanic panic was until, like...
79, so it was right at the start of the satanic panic. No, it wasn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
According to literally
right, anyway,
every source. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was right at the start of when they started really getting like, ooh, Satan. So yeah, I think it was kind of born of it with the help of like, yes, this is a great way to control people. But my God, they are some of the worst murders I have ever had to fucking describe on this. If, like, big if true again, but Jesus Christ, being stoned to death.
Yeah, that's fucking...
Yes.
I feel like there's just something so helpless about that, as in...
But also, if you were her, would you not be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, okay, if you're going to kill me, like, but stoning me to death.
Like, that definitely takes a while.
It's so fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking mad, like.
So, yeah. So, what's your take?
Oh! No, I know exactly what's after happening. Like what I've been saying, that little Robin, she's a little ratbag bitch, and all she wanted was her money. That's all that's wrong with her. So she was all right with like ruining everybody's lives around her just to get what she wanted. Fuck her. That's exactly what's after happening. No time for Robin. Free our man, Carl.
Yep. Honestly, I am. Yeah, I am on team. Carl probably didn't do it, but Robin definitely did.
100%.
Like the little cow she was.
So I did kind of also fly through a lot of the details there, but almost necessary because it's like so much goes on that you're like, what the fuck? And it all happened within like a year, I think, if I'm right. Within a year, all of that went down.
That's just so... I don't even know. I have no words.
No. I did this. There is a good reason I texted you last night and just told you to prepare yourselves by the time I was done with the notes, because I don't even know how I feel about this story.
Yeah, I don't even know what my opinion is. I agree with Lizzie, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like...
Definitely. I would definitely also recommend, like, I think it's on, like, the second page of Google, but it depends on what you Google search, obviously. Just reading through all of the bullshit that Robin said in her 2017...
But you know, I could not be any less arsed, because if I read that, I would be so tick. I'd be so angry.
You would. No, definitely. But even when it comes to, like... the reasons as to why her appeal got denied, they're like, we cannot trust her to be a functional member of society because we don't believe her she's such a chronic liar. Yeah, there's not really much else to say, is there?
No, I'm actually like, that was a good one.
I'm desperate to watch the fucking docuseries, but I live in fucking Germany, one of the only two fucking countries that cares about piracy, and therefore I cannot legally download it. And I can't find it anywhere online to watch it legally. So, if you can, I would say it's probably a very good watch. I've heard good things about it. But yeah, it goes into it probably in a lot more detail than I could probably get. It would have been a fantastic source, but alas, it wasn't meant to be. But yeah, I'd love to watch that documentary. bet it's great. And for any of the listeners interested, like I said, the appeal documents and everything, they are all just sitting on Google. The Carl statements are on Murderpedia. There's not a lot on Wikipedia, actually. This is one of the first times I haven't found a large amount of information on Wiki. But yeah, you have to do some digging if you actually want to get information about it. But yeah, there you go. That's it. That's the Fall River cult. Or cult in...
heavy quotations.
Heavy quotations. So in my attempt to prove that there was satanic murder at some point, or try and prove to myself that there was actual satanic murder at some point, I failed, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
I really, really did try.
Because it wasn't, like...
Shame. No. You can slap fucking Satan into whatever you want. It doesn't make it true.
No. I feel like he's very overhyped as well, to be honest. Can we pick someone different?
Yeah, genuinely.
Can we pick someone different now to start sacrificing things? As in, like,
pick
things?
Someone other than Satan?
Yeah, come on now, it's getting boring.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many religions does God have?
Well, it depends on which God you mean.
Well, not really. Like, a lot of, Christianity and Islam are, meant to be the same lad.
Like, capital G God?
I think so.
Yeah, Allah and God are the same person. Apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Well, that's it. I mean, yeah, can we not sacrifice someone to someone kind of, cooler? Like, not that Satan's not cool. He's a cool dude.
But give the man a rest.
There's so many other leaders of some sort of hell in other religions that are, deadly. Do that.
Yeah, go back to the Greek ones.
We're not telling you now to go out here and murder people. That's absolutely not what we're saying, so we don't indict ourselves into anything. But if that was on your mind anyway.
Yeah. Just leave Satan alone. Be original.
Pick someone different.
Get your own thing.
Yeah.
Agreed. Stop smoking the devil's lettuce to control Satan.
Oh my god. The lunacy. I'll never get over it.
Never. But yeah, in comparison to last week's story, there's definitely more evidence of it actually being some sort of satanic ritual, but no.
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't.
Not at all.
It was just a greedy bitch.
It was.
That's it. That's all I've got. I hope I fucked your lives up, because this fucked me up for the whole entire week. First of all, trying to find the info on it, and then actually having to deal with the consequences of finding the info.
Literally fucking nightmare city,
Just excessively fucking aggressive about it,
Yeah, and for what purpose?
That's the kind of shit that annoys me.
If it's just for dramatic flair, go away.
Yeah. The level of overkill... so extra. Well, at this point, we are all just staring into space, so...
Really just thinking about the third day.
The last murder is the one that really fucks you over. It's Karen got the worst death. Even if a fraction of what happened to her was true. I mean, like I said, definitely decapitated. Most likely was sexually assaulted because the other two were. Stoning. They did stone her, I'm sure of that. All of that. And this woman knew she was going to be murdered, and I think that's why it fucks me up more. She knew it was coming. We'll just skip on forward to the cheery ending of our episodes. And once again, we have one more of these absolutely batshit, God knows anything goes stories next week with Quiva wrapping up our series. And then we'll be back with another heavy hitter of some description after that one. So lots to look forward to. Can't wait for my brain to be melted by whatever you pick, Quiva. Mm-hmm.
Now
that we've all been sufficiently traumatized and brought up past traumas, and also talked about all of the random people we hate for no reason but also very valid reasons, I think we'll call it a day here. I would like to remind everyone to continue to have positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles
and join our club.